Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Raimi. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Yes, what happened today in history?
First, I'm going to explain the episode.
Okay, you insist.
It's going to be a new miniseries called The Epic Failure Files.
Oh, those are going to be great.
Yeah, it's pretty much where we discuss random morbid facts and the worst of what life throws at us because sometimes things just go horribly wrong. Today in history, on October 4th, 1992, a cargo jet crashed into an apartment building in Amsterdam. It was carrying four people, three of them being pilots, the other was just a passenger, and 114 tons of freight.
I imagine there was more people in the building.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Just minutes after takeoff, the plane experienced a catastrophic failure when fires broke out in its third and fourth engines, which caused both to detach from the wing. One of the captains attempted to return to the airport after dumping fuel into a nearby lake, but the plane had insufficient power. 6 miles short of, sorry if I mispronounced this, Schiphol Airport, it's in Israel, it's where it took off from, the captain radioed, "Going down," just moments before it plunged into the apartment complex.
Okay.
Which resulted in a massive fireball explosion.
And he tried to get rid of all the fuel, too.
Yeah. It apparently didn't work. But we also don't know what it was hauling. The crash ended up killing all four people on the plane and an estimated 100 in the building. The intensity of the explosion made body identification extremely difficult. And also, the building was home to many undocumented immigrants.
So they really don't know.
So the exact count of casualties in the apartment block was never finalized.
That's unfortunate. Now, if they had like a parachute pool ordeal, the one passenger would be like, "You guys got to stay, but can I have one of those?" You say we're not doing so hot? I think I'll take off. But I guess they didn't.
See, I'm a coward. Every man for himself. I'm hopping out, even if I am the pilot.
Oh, that's why we're not a pilot. Was it military, you said?
It was a cargo jet. That's all it said.
Okay. It could have been FedEx or anything. Yeah.
Investigators later found that the likely cause of this crash was the failure of a fuse pin, which is a part of the mechanism that connects the engines to the wings.
That sounds like something you should have a redundant piece in there to make sure it don't happen.
Yeah. Now, on to the epic failure files.
Ooh.
The first couple are called Fatal Feasts.
Does it cover the whole Game of Thrones? There's been like three or four of those.
No. Back in the 17th century in Scotland, a man named Sawney Bean and his wife refused to earn their living. So to put food on the table, they decided to start grabbing travelers for their nutrition. Three generations of the family continued their cannibalistic ways before authorities caught on and put a stop to it.
They were getting whatever the people were hauling. They were just making a living.
Yeah.
They didn't ever have to leave the house more than a few.
I think they lived in a cave. I think it said they lived in a cave.
Wow.
So, they really probably didn't have to pay rent in a cave.
I bet there's many horror movies made about that.
Probably. A surge of illegal border crossers using Kruger National Park in South Africa as a main route taught the leopards and lions that humans are slow and easy prey. By this time, at least 8 people had become the large cat's meals within 2 years, by the time 1998 rolled around. And one of these people was a field guide who was eaten while his tour group watched.
Oh no.
The next section I'm calling Catastrophic Screw-Ups. In 2003, because house numbers were not clearly marked, which is a frustration for every delivery driver and emergency responder.
As soon as it would get dark, I would come in from sparking. I'm like, no, you shouldn't even try.
Especially you have to have noticeable house numbers if you want delivery drivers or first responders, especially if you have an emergency, you need that.
Or leave a note describing your place better in the delivery instructions.
Yeah, because GPS is not always fully accurate.
No.
And if you don't have signal, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Put your house numbers in a very visible location, people. Yeah. It's not that difficult, and they're not that expensive.
We have ours outside.
Or you could just make it yourself, and it could be free.
On a tree in front of the house.
Yeah.
And would you believe somebody drove right past our house to the next house and delivered the groceries the other day?
Which house?
Mark and Kathy's.
So they went an extra
house up, even though it said, I say the delivery instructions, the mobile home next to the maroon garage.
Yeah, I've used all the characters in my, I want to say Amazon description because I've had so many problems with, and I have two signs with my numbers.
Yeah.
Very visible. So I just don't think all these people can properly read.
Some people don't read the delivery instructions until they get very close. And then if they have AT&T or T-Mobile, they won't have service here.
Yeah. A demolition crew in Phoenix, Arizona, destroyed the wrong home because of this. They were supposed to tear down the house across the street, but because these people on this street did not have easily visible house numbers, as they should, the owner of the home came home to a vacant lot.
Every so often, my TikTok will blow up with incidences like this happening of the wrong house being demolished or the wrong roof being replaced.
I don't feel, after so much frustration because of the no house numbers, I find it very difficult to find any pity for this person at all. I would point and laugh. So hopefully they learned their lesson and put numbers out.
There was one lady whose roof had been tore off and replaced in a short while. And when she got back from vacation, they had apologized in like a letter and then requested payment for it. And she's...
Absolutely not.
Like, thank you for the roof, but I do not need to pay for it.
I'll see you in court.
I know you're a small business probably and this will ruin you, but I can't pay for it either.
That's not my problem.
I cannot pay for it either. You know?
Not my problem. In 1971, to understand landslides better, Japanese scientists artificially created one by drenching a hill near Kawasaki.
That's the name of the motorcycle.
The simulation backfired and caused a real landslide, which ended up killing 15 of the scientists.
I heard about this.
And there were TV journalists there filming the 9-foot-deep wave of mud that crushed the scientists. A Florida couple's dinner was interrupted in 2002 when a bulldozer unexpectedly crashed into their home and started tearing it down.
Oh, no.
So they raced outside to stop the operator who had gotten the address wrong. On the bright side, the company promised to pay for damages caused by their mistake.
Instead of charging the couple for renting out the work.
The audacity.
I don't follow. It's just, you know, like they get on these chains and it knows what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. There's this one, a paving company who's going around saying they have extra asphalt and offered, they're like, oh, we have this extra if you just like us to drop it on your driveway. We don't really need it or anything now.
And then they
Try charging the people afterwards. Yeah. And they said, we'll tear it up. And one, I can't remember, the man or a woman said, go ahead and tear it up. I didn't want it anyway. You wouldn't shut up until I took it. It's like a whole chain of this little town being.
So why have the town not got together and taken them to court?
I'm sure a lot of people have, but now I'm sure it's almost impossible for them to find somebody.
Yeah. In Centralia, Pennsylvania.
I've heard of that town.
What? Yeah, it's because it's been burning since 1962.
Yeah, okay.
A trash fire spread into the underground coal mines, and the town was deemed uninhabitable. And in 1985, the government paid the residents to relocate elsewhere.
There's a lot of good documentaries and YouTube things about this town. Also, it happened in West Virginia, right?
I don't know. Well, it might probably.
I believe it happened in West Virginia, too. I can't recall if it's the same town, but that's what you got the idea for Silent Hill.
Well, it's now a ghost town with fire still raging beneath it. And it could actually last for a very long time considering there's a coal fire that is located in northwest China that's been burning for over 100 years.
It's just slowly burning, slowly because there's, you know, not a ton of oxygen, but it will keep burning as long as someone dug a hole there.
Yeah.
The town tried a lot of different things to stop the burn. They would drill holes and fill it full of concrete and water and everything else, and it just never stopped, you know. They call them coal veins for a reason.
Yeah.
They go everywhere here and there.
A split-second decision to save a falling coffee cup resulted in a fatal car crash in 1949 in Westchester. The husband, who was driving, tried to reach over to prevent the coffee cup from tipping over and spilling, but he ended up plunging the car over an embankment and into a stone wall, killing his wife and himself facing severe injuries. However, the coffee cup came out completely fine. When the RMS Titanic sank in 1912 after hitting an iceberg, more than 1,500 people died due to a combination of errors, including slow evacuation, poor communication with other vessels that could have helped, a major shortage of lifeboats, only enough of them for half of the passengers and crew on board. Also, they didn't completely fill the lifeboats that they had. And I was watching a documentary not too long ago. It mentioned that the flares or fireworks that they used was not the correct color. It was actually ones for celebration. So any of the ships that seen them would have thought they were just celebrating. And also the communication tap, 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 tap.
Telegraph?
Yeah, those guys that were in charge of that, one of them was extremely rude to the nearest ship that could have helped. And they just, that's why they turned off their
telegraph machine. Oh, man.
Yeah. So a lot of epic failures there. And it resulted in, I think, over 1,500, I said, deaths. It
made a good movie, though.
Yeah, it did. And now it's claimed the lives of billionaires as well.
It's a bad tourist destination, but a good movie.
Yeah. The next section is fatal free falling.
No, the kind that sounds the worst. Like that one dude on TikTok that jumped off without a bungee cord attached.
Well, that wasn't very bright.
Well, they opened the gate, and I guess he just assumed since the gate was open, he could jump. Why would they do that?
Why? I don't know. Why wouldn't they have the bungee cord attached before opening the gate?
I'll send it to you.
That kind of sounds like a failure on their part as well.
Yeah.
Because what if he just accidentally didn't jump, but accidentally toppled over?
Yeah.
That's still going to be their fault. On St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 1899, a guest at the Windsor Hotel tossed a lit match out a window, causing a curtain to catch on fire.
Someone else's window, I'd imagine, caught flame.
It didn't specify that.
Either that or he didn't make it out the window.
The staff quickly spotted the flames, but the fire alarm box was across Fifth Avenue, which was right in the middle of the parade that they were watching. A policeman repeatedly blocked the hotel employee from trying to reach the alarm and refused to believe the staff member about the fire until the crowd that was watching the parade started screaming about the hotel being engulfed in flames. This delay from the police officer not bothering to check if the staff member was telling the truth or not caused the hotel to be completely destroyed by the fire.
And people inside.
Yeah. I think there's two people to blame there. Guy that threw the match out and the police officer for not taking a person's word seriously and checking things out.
That's why they have to take everything so seriously now.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Now, that's how you get people getting swatted and all that stuff. That it's just a price you have to pay for safety, I guess. Ain't that what they say dictators always say? I'll lose some of my freedoms in exchange for safety. Yeah. I just made it sound like a dictatorship is fine.
I might as well go with the flow these days.
You never know.
Yeah. A confused tom turkey crashed through a video store window in 2002 during mating season.
Very confused.
Yeah. The 12-pound bird trashed the place and defecated on the hunting tape.
Well, they had it coming.
Animal experts believed he was drawn to the hunting section due to the female turkeys on the video cases, and police found the tom turkey the next morning.
He ate all the little snacks you could buy at the video store. Now, for people who don't know, if you think of a video store, it was a place where you go to buy hard copies of media, kind of like the red boxes of old, but even older. And it was a whole store.
Yeah, you actually had to go into a store.
And then they had...
It's actually kind of fun. I miss those.
Yeah, they had concessions like you find in a movie theater.
Candy
and stuff like at the front that were honestly still a little bit cheaper than you get at movie theaters.
Yeah. There was a specific smell they had, too.
They also sold popcorn, but it was in a... like pack.
Yeah.
You had to cook it yourself.
Our old Blockbuster has been turned into a gym. Fitness.
And the kind that where you could see, they didn't bother putting like the proper windows. So when you're sitting in traffic in front of the place, you could just watch people doing their thing.
Yeah. All those creeps.
Everyone I've ever been near is, you know, tinted windows, but this place, no, because it was a video store and they just didn't want to replace the glass.
It takes a lot of self-confidence for people that go to gyms because there's no way I'm going to have somebody sitting there staring at me exercising. I'll just do it at home.
I asked my boss once because he was always going to the gym. Why he went to the gym because I knew he made the money to build his own, you know.
Yeah.
He said because if you pay to go and you're on a subscription, you're more inclined to go than if you just know you could do it anytime at the house.
True. I guess.
What is it called? Fallacy is what it's called or something like that. If you're paying, you're more likely to use it.
Yeah. But I have too much social anxiety for that. So that would be a no. I would continue paying and just not go.
Yeah. Well, it's impossible to unsubscribe, apparently. You have to write a letter to corporate.
Yeah. I've heard that. Next section is deep dives.
No, we covered a bunch of those, didn't we?
Yeah, but I don't think there's any caves in this one in particular.
We had a lot of those.
I think the only cave we had is the cannibals living in one. In 2001, a man in Normandy, France, heard a loud crash behind his sister's house and ran out to investigate. He then instantly plunged into a 40-foot deep chasm.
Chasm. Chasm sounds like a person. It's like some frat boat.
Chasm.
You call me Chasm. The gym kind.
The heavy spring rains that had caused the sudden collapse of an abandoned underground chalk quarry And despite weeks of searching and digging, his body was never recovered.
Oh, man. That's insane that they could never find him.
Yeah. I didn't know chalk came from a quarry. I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
That's just one of those things I never thought about.
It does come from
And it's understandable because it would get mushy after getting moistened, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
After falling into an open sewer in 1967, a Russian woman was accidentally locked below ground by the maintenance workers. She survived 3 weeks in what she called a smelly, cruel prison.
You know what she had to be eating?
Yeah. Or drinking, because she can't live without water for, what is it, more than 3 days?
Well, I'm guessing most of it was probably sanitary due to all the vodka in the urine. It just got... I've always heard that Russians had a drinking problem.
I guess she could have been drinking her own urine, because isn't that supposed to be...
I don't know how you could survive that long.
I wouldn't say sanitary, but isn't that supposed to be...
Don't ask me. I'm not advising anybody to go out and drink urine.
Oh, bless her heart. Only when different utility workers heard her screams for help was she released. 5 earthquakes in Calabria, Italy, on February 5th, 1783, caused towns to be destroyed. Thermal springs erupted underground, causing a 100-foot-wide chasm that swallowed both humans and animals. It was a geyser. They were shortly after shot back up by these boiling geysers.
Oh, no.
And surprisingly, though severely burned, many of them actually survived their underground trip.
It's like something you'd see in a movie.
Wee! Or, ouchie!
I'm ablaze.
Oh. The next one is strange roadside spills.
Oh, don't cover the molasses.
Well, yes, one of them is molasses. I think it's the first one. In 2001, the town of Coleman, Alabama, found itself in a sticky situation. A truck carrying nearly 5,000 gallons of molasses overturned, spilling the syrupy goo onto the highway. The 3-inch deep river of molasses shut down traffic for over 10 hours. I'd get out and walk.
I've worked in molasses. I don't want to walk through molasses.
But the molasses didn't stop there. It began to ooze over the bridge and flow into the Vest Creek River, yeah. Or the Vest Creek below.
Imagine flies.
Well, I guess they'll get stuck. You won't have to worry.
Once it gets liquefied a little bit more.
Crews took 10 hours cleaning up this sticky mess with sawdust and scrapers. Yeah. In 1998, a tractor trailer carrying hives from a honey farm overturned, unleashing the bees it carried.
That would be Scott's nightmare.
Yes, nobody was hurt, but authorities had no choice but to close the road for 8 hours while they cleared the area. Oh. In 2002, a California tanker driver fell asleep at the wheel, causing his rig to cross to the other side of the interstate, hitting 2 cars along the way and then flipping over. The crash caused a flood of about 5,000 gallons of milk. This cleanup also took
dairy tragedy.
And imagine the smell
was hot. Sour. Yeah. Over here on 19, when I was younger, you might have been born. I don't even know if he was born. On those two S-curves before you get to the bridge down the hill, a semi had crashed across the road. It spilt pillows and sheets all over the road, and Mom had got up and was grabbing pillows and sheets.
Oh, I don't blame her, because they can't sell them after that.
This has been many, many years ago.
I can see you now with a truck full of electronics tipped.
I'd be terrified. I'd be so afraid I'd get in trouble.
Put a mask on.
I'm not a crook.
Like I said, they can't sell it after that.
Insurance needs it, though.
Well, in 2003, a highway in Brazil became a child's dream and a driver's nightmare. A tanker truck overturned, unleashing a flowing river of chocolate, liquid chocolate, across the 3 lanes of road. The local kids showed up to the scene to gulp down the chocolate, which I hope there was no roadkill there at the time that the chocolate was covering, because that's gross.
It's like a swarm of ants coming to get rid of the mess you've made.
Some of these children even decided it was a good idea to take their clothes off and roll around in
The one next to them is gulping chocolate. It down.
Yeah.
It's like getting a mouthful of water at the pool. You're like, oh no. Chlorine, do your job.
Imagine having to be the parents to give these kids baths afterward. Oh no, you are grounded for months.
They have to give themselves a bath if they're old enough to go out and get in the chocolate.
Ah, true. For the drivers, the situation wasn't as sweet. They were stuck in a 7-mile traffic jam for hours while this was being cleaned up, and probably more difficult to clean up considering there was children rolling around.
Yeah.
The next section is Blind Faith Equals Chaos. In 1926, a radio drama aired describing a riot tearing through the city of London, including the burning of Parliament and Big Ben, and the lynching of ministers. Despite the announcement that the show was entirely fake, many members of the audience decided to believe it was true and caused chaos.
It went to the streets to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like
they would have went out in the streets, seen that this was not actually happening, and been like, okay, I'm going home.
Well, since it was aired at the same time, how many people do you think seen other people who were coming out to see and assumed it was the ones that were already out there doing it?
Hundreds of hysterical listeners flooded the phone lines of the police and newspapers. If it's on the radio, why would you think that the police hadn't heard about it yet?
Maybe they just want to confirm people's safety. I don't know. This happened in the U.S., but it was with War of the Worlds.
Yeah, I got it in here, too. It's next.
One of those people, one of our great aunts.
The roads became chaotic jams of traffic as people either tried to flee London or drive to rescue their loved ones.
That's the reason people were calling.
Yeah. In the middle of the show, BBC realized it had caused a real panic and canceled the program. And the next day, they issued an apology.
Sorry for the anarchy.
Yeah. In 1938, a man named Orson Welles put on a Halloween radio show called War of the Worlds. He made it sound like a real news report about an alien invasion happening in New Jersey. The show sounded so real that many people who tuned in late had not heard the disclaimer that it was just the reading of the book. So they thought that aliens were actually invading New Jersey.
Yeah.
Of all places.
I know. Hello, New Jersey.
This caused a huge panic. Some people got their guns and went out into the streets to fight off the aliens that were not there.
No, and the bacteria do it for you.
Yeah. While others called the police or tried to escape in their cars. Even though the show had many announcements saying it was just a story and was not true, Welles did apologize the next day for his part in causing a panic.
That'd be a wild panic to be part of. It's like when people put on...
And nowadays, there's all kinds of stuff you hear about, the UFOs, the aliens, and we're just like, okay, but do we still have to pay our bills here in America?
Yeah.
At least in America, that's what we're at, where we're at.
Oh, golly.
All kinds of things that should cause chaos we hear, and we're like, okay, but do we still have to pay our bills?
I was paying $29 3 months ago for 10 pounds of ground beef. I'm paying $43 now.
I seen it at Sam's Club for over 50.
Yeah. So don't tell me things haven't changed a little.
The next section, our last section for today, is epic love fails.
Oh, the most tragic.
Yeah. In the summer of 2005, a Dutch couple was completely overcome with their desire for one another and decided to get it on the roof of a parked car that they did not own.
Nope.
One detail they seemed to overlook before starting the act was the two police officers who were sitting inside of the police car at the time.
That must have been awkward.
Apparently, the officers didn't appreciate this free show because they promptly arrested the couple.
Yeah.
In 2003, a man decided to show off his connection with his pet rattlesnake in front of his friends. He draped the 2-foot snake around his neck and started to kiss it. The snake, which had given zero consent for this, firmly set a boundary with a bite to the man's lips.
Can you imagine the swelling? Yeah. You ever watch Kung Fu Hustle?
Sadly, the man survived, but the snake was killed by one of his friends.
Of course. Why? I guess nobody else could handle it after he got bit. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to pick it up. It can't be free in the house, so.
Well, it said that they stomped it with a boot. I feel like if you have enough courage to go up to it and stomp it with your boot, you could have just walked away from it.
Yeah.
And also, maybe you shouldn't have a venomous snake as a pet and start kissing it.
No, don't do that.
Reminds me of those crazy church people.
Oh, that we could have covered that in the faith thing. If you believe it, so be it. But I'm not much for getting bit. Now, I did have a rattlesnake of my own, but I didn't keep it for more than the night before Mom made me get rid of it. She took it to work when she was on the construction crew because I caught it. Well, it caught me. It was attached to the back of my boot.
Yeah.
And I turned around.
It was a baby.
And I grabbed it. Because it was attached to the back of my boot, couldn't get loose, put it in a bucket and told her when she got home from work that we needed to do something with it, like get a pen or a tank or something. And she said, no, we are not keeping the rattlesnake. And so
never let us have any fun.
And so she took it to work the next day because I refused to let her kill it and turned it loose in a ditch. And when she turned it loose, she said all the other men and the construction crew took off running the other way.
Manly.
Some people are terrified of snakes, though. I'm not. Even if it had bit me, I'd have been like, oh, this is unfortunate. I have to go to a doctor.
I would rather get bit by a venomous snake than a brown recluse.
Yeah, that left a mark on my buddy. Well, yeah, the episodes are going to be a little bit more sporadic. We're trying to do them every other week still, even though we said we'd jump to them every week. But now that she's riddled with parasites, we just can't promise it. And then there's weddings coming up, everything. But if you want to see more of us, we have done some, we have another YouTube channel in the link tree, link in the description we keep down there, and it's for creating cool crafts. It's a YouTube channel that is all about us, you know, crafting or things, but right now we're just unboxing all the stuff for the crafts. It'll be a few videos of unboxings and things. Let us know what you think there. Keep reaching out. I appreciate it. There's also a link below the link tree that will let you send us a tip or donation if you want to do that. In the link tree, there is a baby registry if you want to get something for Beth and that parasite. There's emails if you want to reach out to us. There's also all the socials in the link tree if you want to reach out that way. There's Facebook groups for Creating Cool Crafts and this podcast.
If you watch the crafting YouTube thing, you actually see our faces. It's very awkward.
If you look real close, you can see a worm coming out of her nose. Those pesky parasites.
I don't think they come out of the nose. First of all, it's not a worm, but it doesn't come out of your nose.
Well,
it comes out the other end.
Ew. I guess that's it. Thanks for being patient with us. I have been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.